Yo, my name is Big Lou, and you are now listening to Go Produce. We're the show that explores how music industry professionals turn their passions into profit. If you want to hear the perspective of an up-and-coming artist from a rural part of the world, then this episode is for you. Thank you, Factor, for funding part of this initiative. Today's theme is, how has being in a relatively remote part of the world affected your career so far? Today's guest is Tiernan Heffron. The 21-year-old singer-songwriter from County Antrim, Northern Ireland, first began singing at the age of 4 years old. By age 8, he was learning to play the guitar. By age 12, he had began writing his own original music. With unique vocal tonality, an innate feel for melody, and the ability to write relatable lyrics, Tiernan Heffron is sure to make a name for himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Tiernan Heffron.
Yeah, boy!
Thank you, Tiernan, for being here. I want you to know that we do appreciate your time, so let's make the most of this and go produce. The first segment of the show is called The Basics. All right, Tiernan. So we like to start off the show with the segment called The Basics. And what we're going to do ultimately is try and decipher where you're coming from, where you want to go, and so that we can all move forward together on that same path. That makes sense?
100%. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So what's your first musical memory?
My first musical memory would have been when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I used to visit my granda Sammy. And when your granda has visitors, then I always remember he would have made me stand up in the middle of the mat in the living room and sing a song. So that's my first musical memory. And then that kind of led on to running around the house singing, like, I don't know if you maybe heard of a band called McFly or Bust It songs.
Nope.
They were big bands in the UK, still are. They were really coming up when I was 4 or 5 years old. So, and Westlife is too, you know, good Irish boy band songs. That's my earliest memory of singing.
Are they still inspirations to you today?
Oh yeah, very much so. It's funny, like, you know, looking back, I can see now how much that actually influenced my sound and my songwriting and just the style of music I still listen to today. It's also changed a lot, but yeah, definitely.
You're still quite young. You're 21 years old, but you have quite the experience already, quite the background within the industry. I'm just curious to know, what is the first lesson that the industry has taught you?
The first lesson that the industry taught me is really just to believe in yourself. Just have a big dream, you know, shoot for the stars and hopefully you land on the moon. That's what I say, you know, just go for it and just don't let anything hold you back from believing that you can 100%. Be the best that you can be.
100%. Was there a specific example of a time where you almost hesitated in yourself and you're just like, I just got to do it despite my curling stomach pains?
Well, do you know what? It's as if I've been born to do it. It sounds really like corny and that, you know, that's what you'd hear on, you know, I was born to do this, you know, but like, I feel like I really was. There's never been a moment where I can remember not wanting to do it or not being able to sing or not having it in me, that want for something, you know, and that is performing. So I've always kind of just had this one-way vision of creating music that I love, and hopefully a lot of other people are going to love it as much as I enjoy singing it and writing it.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced imposter syndrome?
Explain to me what that word means a little bit.
Imposter syndrome, where you're almost in a position where you don't necessarily think you may belong. It's almost a little flash of insecurity, if you will, questioning, do I really deserve to be here amongst these other fantastic people?
Yeah, well, sometimes when I'm on the stage and I'm performing, I feel like I completely belong there. And I feel like, I always say, like, when I put the guitar on me and I'm performing, I feel like I can breathe, you know, like have that outlet. And then when I come off the stage, just kind of be when I was about 18, 19. Because all I wanted to be was up on the stage performing. But now that I'm getting a little bit older, and a little bit wiser, I'm getting the hang of both, which is great. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, for sure. Because you're still very much into the meat of your career. What firsts are you currently pursuing?
What firsts? Sorry.
Firsts. Perhaps something that you haven't necessarily accomplished quite yet.
Oh, yeah. There's quite a few, Lou. One of them that just comes straight into my mind is going to Nashville. I really want to go to Nashville. I just want to be there and see the city. There's a couple of different goals. I mean, I haven't hit the 1 million mark at all on my streaming songs on Spotify. I'm working my way up. You know, last year I had 10,000 overall listens, streams. This year I've got 240,000. And that was all inside the space of 6 months as well since my first release of my single with No Strangers, Ecstasy. So I would love to just, I think it's a big, what's that word called, you know?
Landmark?
Landmark, yeah. Yep. Yeah, just hitting the 1 million, shall it be streams or views in a video or something like that. So yeah, and, you know, hop on a song with like a big artist, you know, like Brett Young, Luke Combs, James Arthur.
Yeah, a couple of firsts.
Yeah, I'm performing in an arena. I've never performed in an arena, and that's a huge one. That would be magnificent as well. I would love it.
You mentioned one of your goals being hitting 1 million streams. Do you have a laid out strategy in terms of getting to this goal, or is it almost just a free for all? What's your technique behind this?
That's a great question. I like that one. You know, I released music there for 5 years, and throughout the 5 years, I never got over, I'd say, 600 monthly listeners on Spotify. And when I did, it dropped down. And it was a bit disheartening. I always wondered why, you know, why is this not going where I want it to go? And then from really learning about how Spotify works, you know, the algorithms, taking that time out of your day to spend a couple of hours watching, you know, a lot of YouTube videos about how the algorithm works, how to go on playlists. And I think a big thing I've learned is having one-to-ones with people, you know, going on Instagram, hitting up other artists, hitting up people who like your posts, who like your song, and just saying, hey, you know, if you want to check out my songs, hope you like them. Then they put it into a playlist, then their friend maybe sees it, their friend puts it into a playlist, and it kind of has a snowball effect, you know? So that's something that I've been tapping into quite a lot. And since I've been doing that, I've seen a huge increase in just my overall organic streams and
So is it more on social media, on Instagram, for example, is it a more direct messaging approach that you take?
Yeah, well, I mean, you would know that.
I bet. That's what really caught me off guard. So how about we take that approach? Say you're trying to reach out to me. Yeah.
Yep. So basically what I do is, just to be completely honest and just saying it how it is, I always thought that when I was becoming about 18, I thought, you know, you get that one hit song, it takes off, your Instagram takes off, you know, all your songs get big streams and stuff like that. But I really kind of learned that, like, I watched a lot of Gary Vee videos, and there's a very good music guy from the UK called, his name's Damien Keys.
Ooh,
you know,
I'm a huge fan of Damien Keys.
Yeah. Well, listen, I am too. And if he's watching, big shout out to Damien Keys. But I am sorry that I introduced you as a really good music guy, right? Because he's, I don't even know how to describe him. He's a great person.
Phenomenal person, yeah.
I actually went to his college that he set up. He set up a music college called BIM over in England, and I went and studied songwriting there, which is really cool. Oof. But yeah, like, you know, I watched a lot of his videos, and it really changed a lot of things for me. It changed my mindset, and it realized, you know, you just got to go do it yourself. Like, you got to get one-to-ones for this time. You know what I mean? While I haven't had that big break or haven't took off yet, you know, while I can do it, have them one-to-ones and build relationships with people. And then, you know, if you do become like Lewis Capaldi level or James Arthur level, you know, then it's maybe not going to be as simple as that. You maybe not have to do that every single day and spend, you know, three or four hours on Instagram. But at this time, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
For free.
I wanted to reiterate on that, 3 to 4 hours a day on Instagram. And it's not just like, you know, scrolling through, oh, I like cats and kittens and coffee mugs and whatnot. You're actively looking through comments, those threads, commenting on those comments, reaching out, sending video posts, all of this kind of stuff. And it's an active process where you're genuinely working on this app as opposed to just leisurely spending 3 to 4 hours on the apps, which a lot of people will do.
Yeah, well, you know, I do find myself on like a guitar Instagram page, and it's like looking at Telecasters for about half an hour. You know, I would love to get this one.
Telecasters are quite nice, though.
Or that one.
Still relatable. Still relatable.
You know, I find myself on there, but yes, it's good.
That's awesome. Beautiful, Tiernan. That's the end of the basics. We'll be moving nicely into our next segment. You ready? Our next segment is called What's Your Take? What's Your Take?
Okay.
Yeah. So in What's Your Take, I'm going to be throwing a couple semi-ridiculous perspectives your way, and I essentially want your opinion on the matter. Simple as that.
Okay.
So much experience, so much wisdom.
I know.
Becoming a hit on YouTube was a simple process. What's your take?
What's my take? So it's not like one word answers or anything here. Like, yes, no. what's my take? I think it's the same as like Spotify a little bit. I think you can only kind of do so much, but you kind of have to like work with it instead of work to it. You know, we got to work with the algorithm. You got to post regularly. You got to post regularly. You got to have good content if you really want to, you know, break through on YouTube.
Yeah, I have here your cover of Galway Girl by Steve Earle. Can you talk about that one? Your cover of Galway Girl by Steve Earle? How it went?
You know that's so funny because I was actually watching that today with one of my friends on YouTube. It was quite funny, we came across it. But yeah, so basic, right? I was quite funny actually. I was 12 years old.
12.
And my mum and my dad wouldn't let me upload any videos to YouTube until I was 13. Don't know why. Something to do with it. It probably sounds better being 13 and younger than that, putting on YouTube. I don't mean better as in it sounds better. I just mean it sounds better from a parent's point of view, right? You know, you're not going to do that until you're a teenager. So I was like, right, okay, no problem. So I thought, So I took an ocean one night, and it was like, I remember it was like one really nice evening, and I got my music stand, I got my phone, like my like iPhone 4th generation or something at the time, and I went out to like a field outside my house, and like I stood in the middle of the field and I put my music stand up and my guitar with me and that, and I started like just recording covers. So I did like, I think I did Galway Girl, I did Johnny Cash, Stand By Me, you know, all these kind of songs that I knew at the time and I still do. And I mean, I put that on YouTube and now it's got over like 30,000 views. You know, it's quite funny. You know, it definitely got me name around school at that time. That was a good thing and a bad thing.
I bet.
Did
you do anything in particular to get the cover heard?
I think, well, back in the day, listen to me, as if I'm sounding so old, but like back then, about, that was what?
9 years ago.
So I don't know if you maybe remember, but about 10 years ago YouTube had a feature and it was a little bit like Messenger, so like you had an inbox and a sent box and stuff like that. And I remember being I remember putting up that cover, right? This is so funny. Justin Bieber is blowing up at the time, like huge blowing up at the time, and his Baby music video, oh my goodness, it's all coming out now. Baby had like millions of views every like hour. It was just going up and up and up. So I used to go on to like the comment section and be like, everybody, like, follow me, like, subscribe. I am a singer songwriter from Ireland and I am 12 years old and I just done a cover of Galway Girl, which I'm sure they never heard of Galway Girl. But yeah, actually, funny enough, you got the odd people like commenting back, be like, cool cover, kid, or like stuff like that. And then I think I've always just been a wee bit of a hustler and grafter when it comes to kind of like that kind of stuff, as I said about my Instagram and all. So it's really funny actually thinking back to that age. I was doing the same thing, but it was like doing that and stuff was quite funny.
So even from the beginning, you'd have to like literally direct message people. The networking game is so key at any age.
I really I really hope I am not doing that all my life.
Well, I mean, once you're starting, yeah.
Yeah, no, but no, I do. I always enjoy just human contact. Like, I mean, I just love reaching out to people and meeting new people, building relationships, hearing their music as much as mine. You know, like, I love to find new music. I love to see other up and coming artists.
Yeah.
Doing their thing. So when people message me about their music or something like that, I always just, if I can at least just like the message, at least I just don't want to ever, well, leave it open and read and just never get it back to them, you know, because for me, it doesn't take long. I might not remember their name or remember it, but for them, they're always going, do you know what I mean? Remember that time they messaged here and then he didn't reply or he didn't.
Of course.
So I just try to have like, be mindful of people reaching out to me and stuff.
100%. Also, did you find perhaps an example of this is when you were starting, you wanted to post earlier on YouTube, but your parents said not until you were a teenager. Did you find that you had any other issues being so young starting up?
Yeah, well, it's funny, I just forgot to mention there. So, like, I put it up on YouTube and that, and it was doing well. But the weird thing was I couldn't tell my mom and dad, like, oh my God, my video's got 5,000 views now, because then they'd know that I put a video up on YouTube. But then my mom and dad started getting messages from, like, their friends, like, oh, I just seen Wee Tiernan's video, and it was so good. And then, like, my mom and dad's like, what? Tiernan, did you put a video on YouTube? I'm like, no, I didn't. I swear I didn't. And they've, like, already watched it and seen it. Like, well, we've seen it and it's pretty good. And they were like, all right, you can just, instead of waiting your 13th birthday, you just crack on.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked back since.
But did you find ever
I don't think that answered your question, but what was your question again?
It was a fun story. But in terms of professionals being seen as someone who is serious in the industry, are there struggles that you had? Because there are other kids out there, 12, 13, 14, maybe even younger, that are trying to get some experience, but they're just struggling with that.
Yes. I can just say that, you know, just kind of like when you're like, listen, when I put that cover up on YouTube and I went to school, there was a thing of, like, I would have always sang for anyone, right? So like, I would have sang out in the schoolyard. I remember like all the older fifth year girls, right, would have come up to me and like, can you sing a song? I'm like, oh yeah, well, do you want me to sing? I'll sing a Justin Bieber song. All right, baby, oh, with you. Like, I'd be singing like Chris Brown's cover, Chris Brown's With You, but you know, the Justin Bieber version. So like, I would have started singing that in like the playground, right? And then like all the girls with the crowd around and like took out their phones and like started recording me. But here's me thinking this is class, like, oh my goodness, getting all their numbers and all that, like going to tell me, it's like, oh, I got her number. But then like all the older people in the school, they would be like calling me like
getting all this attention.
That is a terrible sound to have in my headphones. I didn't like that.
Just messing with my buttons here a little bit.
It's really threw me off. But basically, right? So like, as I was walking around in school, then you got a lot of people like going, yo, wee Justin Bieber, sing me a song, you know, like calling me this and that for singing. And then I used to get, and then I would have gotten like an argument with them or fighting, like, you know, standing up for stuff like, don't call me that, or, you know, and, but you know, I'm kind of going on a bit here, but what I just want to say is that, like, I know what it's like when you're 11, 12 and you're singing in school, and you're different, right? You know, you're going to stand out and not everyone's going to like that. But who cares? You know what I mean? If you enjoy doing it and you love doing it, you do it. Because why not?
Exactly. Well, that's good enough reason for me. Why not?
Why not?
Try it. You know what I mean? That's
what you love to do, and just go on and do it, you know what I mean? So
are you still taking requests?
If I know it, aye.
Let's hear something now.
Oh, aye. Don't hear something.
Ooh, I don't see why not.
Okay. Right. Well, you remember I was saying I used to do like Justin Bieber With You by Chris Brown. Actually, you know what? Can I get my guitar?
Yep.
Please do.
Oh my goodness. Yay. Brilliant. Okay.
This is about some Celine Dion. Do you know some nice Celine Dion?
Right, you know what? This is going to be so fun. Go for it. Right, give me requests and I'll see how many I can do. But I'll only do wee bits off the songs, okay?
Let's do something by Celine Dion.
okay, the only bit I know, it could only be a couple of lines, right?
Yeah.
So like, every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. Na, 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 na. Go on, Jack, come back. All right, okay, right. Awesome. Give me another one.
Whoa.
Right, give me another one.
Something by Ed Sheeran.
Something by what?
Ed Sheeran.
I'm gonna take off the pieces and build Lego hearts. If things go wrong, we can knock it down. Guitar slightly edging. Go for it. Give me another one. This is fun.
How about you were talking about what's the name of the Scottish guy?
Scottish guy. Oh, Lewis Capaldi.
There we go.
Oh yeah. Okay. I feel by the wayside like everyone else. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, but I was just kidding myself. Every moment I start a replace. Now that you're gone on the hill, the words that I need to say. You hurt under the surface like troubled water running cold. Time can heal but this won't. So because my parents are sleeping, I'm not going to sing the chorus like I normally would, because I will get in so much trouble if they hear me. Oh,
that was amazing.
That's awesome. This guy's out here. You heard him here first.
They'll hear it. You know what? You don't need to worry about them hearing me. It's the fire alarms going off in the house, being like,
the fire alarm. That's jokes.
It's only me playing songs.
Okay, one last one by one of your fellow Irishmen, by Hozier.
Ooh, Hozier. Okay. My love has got humor. She's a giggle at a funeral. There's everybody's disapproval. Should have worshipped her sooner. And if the heavens ever did speak, she's my last true mouthpiece. Every sun is getting more bleak. Fresh poison each week. We were born sick. You heard him say it. Remind me to be well. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
goes in. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you for doing
very,
that.
Very good. Very, very
thank
good.
Thank you. Is this Grumpy Sound Man saying that's very good? Whoa.
Yeah.
Must be doing
let's, let's give the boy some love.
Come on, right, thank you. Oh my god,
that's awesome.
That is a sound I haven't heard in a while. People in the one room clapping and having a good time. Whoa, can't wait for that again.
For real, for real. For real. Tiernan, I got one more question before this segment. For what's your take?
What's your take?
I wanted to say formalized or conventional education is beneficial to all artists, but mainly I want to talk about BIM and your experience there because you mentioned that. So if you could just talk about that for maybe like 2 minutes and then we can jump on to the next one.
Yeah. Okay, so going to BIM, right? It was a great experience and I did learn a lot from it. And I think, the only thing I can really say and the best thing that sums everything up, right, is it's like anything. You get what you put in. No, you put in what you get. No. Yeah, you get what you put in. You get what you put in. Do you know what I mean? It's like you have like, you know, you get what you put in. If you go there and you network and you go to class or you meet different people on nights out, you go to gigs, you're going to network and you're going to meet people and build relationships. If you don't if you go there and they don't really bother doing that or going out to gigs or writing on when you get all the free time, then I'm not saying that you're not going to do great things. Who knows? You might, but that's just my experience. You kind of, you get what you put in, really.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Does that answer the whole thing?
Yeah. I can you tell us a little bit more about what BIM is? Like what it stands for, for example?
Yeah. So BIM is British Irish Modern Music, or Institute of Modern Music.
Yeah.
It originally was it says British Irish Modern Music of Brighton. I don't know, it's Institute of Brighton or whatever, because it started in Brighton. But Damien Keyes, actually, he founded the college and he put it together. Now it's like one of the biggest music colleges in the world. I was lucky enough to get into it when I was 19. It's where James Bay and George Ezra are actually past pupils. They went there. I think James Bay actually, one of the places he got discovered playing at his, you know, at one of BIM's, nights that they have music, in the semester, you know, for the college students and that.
Oh, cool.
He got found playing there by an A&R, I think. I'm pretty sure, not quote me on that. But yeah, sorry, I'm going a little bit off topic. But I went to the Manchester one for a year and I studied songwriting. And then I came home after a year. I fell in with the label I'm on now, and it was just the right path for me, really. I can do everything that I could over there, but now I'm doing it at home.
Right.
So I'm thank goodness that I did only do the year, because if I had stayed there, the coronavirus came. So I just got out in time. So
interesting.
I didn't have to do the next 2 years.
Right.
It really was a blessing.
Interesting how it works out that way. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We've got our next segment. Our next segment is called Clear the Air. That's hilarious. All right. So in Clear the Air, we're going to toss over a couple of, just talking points. We want to try and really hash out the different learning points for our listeners. That makes sense?
Okay. Makes sense. Yep.
Cool. So we start off this segment with our featured fan question. Let me just pull that up for you.
Hey, what's up, Tiernan Herman? I hope I pronounced that well. We have a couple questions for you. Who has been your biggest influence so far? Is there someone who had already done it that makes you want to say, I want to be like them? And also for upcoming artists, what would your biggest advice be? Thank you, man. You have a wonderful day.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, that's so cool. I love that. That's wow. Jokes.
Did you hear the questions? I can repeat them for you if you like.
Yeah, I heard them.
Okay.
I heard them. Okay. Yep, I've got a good answer for this one. I've got a very good answer for this one.
That's all right.
Okay, so the first one was, have I ever came across someone who didn't maybe do it and I wanted to fill it. Do you know what I mean? Who maybe had that chance but never fulfilled it. Well, right beside me here, okay, is something very special to me that I got for my 18th birthday from my godmother, my Aunt Marie. She put it together. So I remember my earliest memory was singing on my granda's mat on his living room floor. My granda Sammy was a performer. He wrote and he sang poems and he performed with my great aunt Sheena, who was his sister, when they were younger. So they were my age and they were traveling all around Ireland and they were doing different shows and talent shows, this and that. And as you can see here, like, right, so these are letters actually from record labels from 1962, 1959, 1972. Literally saying like, hey, you know, dear Sheena, Sammy, I heard you came across you singing in a concert hall. We would love it if you could come to the studio and do a recording and we could send it away to your top radio stations, Dublin, you know. They yous are from Canada. They actually got the chance to go to Canada to pursue music. And they could have been really, really huge. But they were that much of homebirds that they wanted to, they never took it. They were happy enough staying at home. I mean, my dad had five brothers and sisters. So she was like looking after them. They literally lived a stone throw away from my granny's house. So she was, they never took it. They were just happy. Do you know what I mean? And to me, that means so much more than going off and doing a huge thing. They were just happy and content doing what they were doing and always having that music. So my mom always says that, like, I'm like them, only I want to go all the way. Like, I want to do what they never did and got done.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and you know, I've actually got this here. It's something that probably my most prized possession. It's like it's a thing out of my wallet. I keep a picture of my granda Sammy. So my confirmation name is Samuel, so after my granda. So I take this with me. I don't want to lose it, right? So like, I try not to take it with me like all the time. But like my first day at college, if I've got a really big gig, if I've got a job interview, if I'm doing something important, I bring it and always keep it in my pocket. So I never want to lose it. So yeah, I just that's the answer I have.
That's awesome.
For that.
That's
and I could give you a way more examples. We'd be here all day.
Well, no, I do appreciate that, but it's something cool to have the sentimental tie to the inspiration as well, because like, this was directly a person that you've seen day in and day out. And a lot of the time you'll have parasocial interactions or relationships with celebrities that you see online or in books, and you're like, that's my mentor, that's my whatever the case may be. But this is cool
too. Well, that's it. Yeah, that's it. You know, and in my heart, they made it. They didn't want money, they didn't want fame, they didn't want recognition, they were just happy. Do you know what I mean? And you could have that all and not be happy. So it's just amazing to have it. And now I want to deliver it with the world.
So sentimental. Oh my goodness. Get out of here with this. Okay.
Yeah.
So as we're nearing the end, I'm hoping to get some highlights on certain, highlights of your career. I can name out a few specifically, or we can start with whichever stands out the most to you. Which would you prefer?
You just broke up a little bit there, but you said about highlights of my
your career. Yeah, so we're hoping to go into a couple highlights of your career. How about we start here with this one? Your TV debut on UTV Live with Pamela Ballantyne in March 2017.
Yep.
Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, I can tell you how to say her name properly. Like
Ballantyne, is it?
Okay, Ballantyne, yeah.
Shots fired!
As I was saying that, I was thinking I sound like a cheeky bitch. So basically, so she's like a very well-known, famous TV presenter in Northern Ireland, right? And you know, you want to be on her show. It's a little bit like so it's like the Ellen Show or the Late Late Show, but it's like on a very smaller level, you know, because it's not that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You always want to be on that as an artist, singer, or whatever. And I was doing a gig in Belfast, in a place called St. George's Market. I got in there because I was busking. I was actually, you know, busking after class. And anyway, I was playing there, and she came in, and I said to myself, I need to get her a CD. Like, so I released my first EP at the time. I was 17, overthinking. I like went up to her and I gave her my CD. I says, you know, my name's Tiernan. I'm 17. I'm from here. My own songs. She's like, thank you very much. I'm actually going to drive home, so I'm going to get a listen to that on my drive home. And I thought, great, brilliant. But do you know what I mean? There's been that many times where you give your CD to someone and you never hear anything back. And I just kind of never thought much of it. And then a couple of weeks later, I got an email. And because my email's on the back of the CD. And it was like, you know, hey, Tiernan, I listened to your CD on the way home. I listened to it for you a couple of times. We'd love to get you on the show. And it just happened from that, which was great. So me and my band at the time went up, and we did the show, when it was great.
That's super awesome. That's
super awesome. At the time as well.
What about traveling to New York? What was that like? What did you do that for?
That was an amazing experience. So me and my team, TT Music, we went out to New York. It was a few years ago now, and so it was my independent label at the time. So we went out there and we shot a music video to a song at the time called Emily, which people still ask me to sing it, which is really cool. And we pretty much did it DIY, you know, me and a couple of friends went out. We had cameras and we had a backing track, well, the song and speaker, and we went around different parts of New York shooting the video, and we put it all together. And then while I was there, Tony Rogers, who was with me, he was friends with Hollywood Hamilton. So Sean Hollywood Hamilton, he's actually in like New York's Radio Hall of Fame. And he invited us up to the studio, and we went on, did an interview. We ended up getting an interview on live to New York on air to millions of people across the city. And the day before, actually, like Miley Cyrus was in that same seat I was sitting on, and Justin Bieber was in that the next week, and like it was just really cool. So that was just a really surreal experience. And you know, I hope you know, once I get all this new material together and that, like, to give it, I mean, I still keep in contact with Hollywood, and it's really cool actually, because on his Instagram, Benny Blanco and Justin Bieber give him a shout out. It was like, hey guys, go tune in the Sean to Hollywood Hamilton, you know, his radio show, which is so cool. And yeah, basically, oh my god, I'm sounding like such a fanboy here, if I want to try it again, but no, basically, yeah, so he said, you know, go away, work on your own music, get solid good material, and you know, show me it and come back to me, and we see what we can do. So I'm in the process of that at the minute, just every day working away, getting 1% better, getting all material together, and hopefully, you know, be able to give them something nice and soon, a couple of years.
That's awesome. What about the biggest festival experience you've had to date?
Biggest festival experience was I performed at a festival over in Jersey. It was called The Weekender. And Rita Ora was headlining at the time.
Oof.
Rita Ora.
Awesome.
Oof. Rita Ora, Rag and Bone Man, Becky Hill. Do you heard of Becky Hill over there?
I'm not familiar with her personally, but I'm sure there are people who have heard of her.
Becky Hill. Yeah, so all of them, bigger artists. And it was my biggest gig I've ever done. Best gig I've ever done. And yeah, got to meet Rita Ora and that after. Her tent was literally just like outside mine, and so I went over and I chatted to her. I got a great photo with her, a selfie. She held my phone. She held my phone. She wouldn't That's be allowed awesome. To do that now these days, you know, can't even go close to people. But yeah, I got a chat to her. She asked me how my gig went, and it was a really funny story, right? So I seen her stand next to her tent, and I ran into my tent, and I had one CD left, again doing the thing with the CD. And I put it in my back pocket, right? So I don't want to just walk over with this idea. And I said, excuse me, Rita, can I have a photo? And she was really lovely about it. She asked me how my gig went. She asked me where I'm from. How's my music going? Which was super cool. And I was literally standing there having me and you were talking. I mean, like, just chatting to her. Rita Ora, like, the voice that you always hear on all the radios and the show. And I was just like, I just felt so comfortable. Do you know what I mean? It was just normal woman, like, just having a chat here, like another musician. And so it kind of came to the point, you know, at the end, you kind of get the vibe, conversation's gonna be over soon, right? You're not gonna stand around talking all the time for a long time about it. What else can you talk about? So I says to her, thanks so much. And she's like, yeah, see you later, whatever. I goes, oh, by the way, here's my CD. And she goes, oh, is this you? And I was like, yeah, it's me. She's like, is this your last one? And I was like, yep, it's my last one. She's like, well, I think you better hold on to it. And then I went, nah, I think you better keep it. And I just remember her looking kind of confused, like, okay, thank you very much. I'm like, yeah, no problem. And then,
what do you think she did with that album after you left?
I don't know. I told her my email was in the back of it, you know, thinking that maybe she would like it, and our team would reach out to me or something like that. But, you know, when are you ever going to get that chance? And hopefully, you know, get the chance again and say, well, Rita, did you enjoy that CD? No, it would be so funny if, like, whenever I did, you know, do get, like, it'd be great to have a bit of success, right? Say you're on, like, you know, like James Gordon's Late Late Show, right, or whatever. And I was like, so you met Rita Ora one time. Tell us a story about that. And then I told him about, like, oh, you know, I gave her the CD. And then, you know, he asked, like, exactly what you just asked there now, like, so what do you think she did with that CD? And I'm like, I don't know. She might have left it in her tent, you know. Or, and the next thing, like, Great Aura comes out. Like, she's the other guest. She's like, well, I've got it right here.
It's possible. You never know. You never know.
Very funny.
Tiernan, this has been super, super awesome. I want to say thank you so much for this. But before we do wrap up, do you have any final words that you want to share with our audience?
I just want to say, well, first of all, I just want to say thanks so much for having me on this on the show. It's my first ever proper podcast I've ever done. So thank you for that.
It's awesome. Thank
it's
you for being
here. It's been an absolute pleasure just vibing out with you and having great fun. As you know, I am a night owl. It is 1 o'clock over here, so I don't mind. I just want to say that I'm just working really hard at the minute, writing the best music I possibly can that I love. And I'm working with some great people. I've got the best team around me. I'm just so content and just happy with what I'm doing at the minute. And I'm really hoping that I do believe that everything, you know, it hasn't been the best year, 2020, for everyone in the world, especially for live musicians out there and people in general. And I really do believe that everything's going to come back round and it's going to be bigger than ever. And I do believe that music is going to be what saves the world. It's going to be what saves everybody from everything that's going on. So yeah, I hope that, you know, in the next 5 years, I just say it how it is. Like, in the next 5 years, like, I want to be a household name. I want to break America. I want to break Canada. I want to break Australia. I want to break Europe. And I just want to get my music out there and share the positivity and happiness with a lot of people. And, you know, if they like it, they like it. And if they don't, it's cool. Everyone's open to...
Exactly. They're allowed to. That's beautiful, beautiful. Tiernan, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me singing in my bedroom in Northern Ireland at 1:30 in the morning. No, right. Yeah, you can. But no, you can find all the good stuff that comes from my bedroom at 1:30 in the morning in Northern Ireland on Spotify. Apple Music, SoundCloud, all the streaming platforms. You can find me on YouTube if you want to look at me while I'm singing. And you can find me every Google, whatever, you know.
Are you on social media, Instagram? What's your handle for that?
I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is just Tiernan Heffron, just straight up.
Straight name? Okay, perfect. Yeah. Awesome. And we'll make sure to include all of that in our show notes as well. On that note, I want to say thank you to our listeners. Without you guys, there would be no show. Obviously, we'd be talking to no one, and that's only so much fun. Shout out to our grumpy sound guy. You were here. Tell us how you really feel. That's how he really feels. Shout out to our Prevail. Shout out to our Prevail media team group. Without the facility and the environment, we could not make this happen. And then, obviously, big shout out to you, Mr. Tiernan Heffron. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. And I just had a little thought there, you know, while you were saying that. I really like to, I never want to forget about things, and I always appreciate everyone on the journey up and coming along and helping me out. So I would really love to come back on the show sometime. And as I said there, you know, in the next 5 years, I would love to do this, that, and the other. Let's get me back on in 5 years and see, and look back on this show and see what we've both created and what we've both done.
That'd be interesting.
And we're always going to be doing this and what we're doing, no matter what happens.
Most definitely. We're going to keep on going.
You're always
going
to be doing what you're doing. So, yeah.
I like that.
Let's work hard and see where we go.
I like that. All right. Thank you, Tiernan. We out. Thank you for listening. If you found any value in this episode and you want to learn more from our content, check out our website at goproduce.ca. If you're on Instagram, check out our handle at go.produce. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. If you're on Spotify, hit download. If you're on Apple Music, leave a review. This will all help us grow our community. I'm Big Lou, and this is Go Produce.